This month, Better Off Out is running a campaign focusing on the disastrous common fisheries policy of the European Union. We're explaining the damage done to Britain's marine environment and to our fishing industry. But we're also explaining how the situation would be improved if we left the European Union and regained control over our coastal and territorial waters. For this podcast, I travelled down to Cornwall to speak to those working in the fishing and related industries. And the singing you can hear in the background in places is by the boys from the New Quay Rowing Club. Remember, you can find out more about Save Britain's Fish campaign on our website, www.betteroffout.net. Look under campaigns, find the Save Britain's Fish campaign, and you'll be able to order all sorts of useful materials that you could use to campaign on this issue. So for the first section, we're going down to the dockside in Penzance, where we learn about the tragedy of the discard policy.
So let's hear it for Joe, names are me never die. Let's hear it for critics.
Well, hello, we're here in Penzance. We're launching the Better Off Out Save Britain's Fish campaign. Here's a booklet that we've produced. We're also doing leaflets and banners, posters, beer mats, all sorts of things to try and explain about how disastrous the European Union common fisheries policy has been for the British fishing industry and also for our marine environment. To take just one example, the common fisheries policy is based on what is known as the total allowable catch, that is how much of different fish is allowed to be taken, and then that total allowable catch is then divided up first of all by country and then down to individual ships. It has unfortunate consequences. One of the most deleterious is the discards that take place. So let's imagine one of these fishing boats behind us has got permission to go out and take catches of two different species of fish which generally swim together and are found together. So out goes the fisherman and he puts his nets down, he brings up the fish and everything's going lovely. But then he reaches the limit that he's allowed to catch of species A. And yet in order to make a living, in order to land enough fish, he needs to carry on fishing for species B, even though he's not allowed to catch species A, which is found in the same waters and swims together. Inevitably, the nets will bring up both species A and species B, and yet he has to throw back dead into the water the fish of species A, because he's only allowed to catch species B. Now, this does nothing to conserve the fish stocks. It does nothing to increase the breeding populations of the fish. All it does is allow a bureaucrat in Brussels to carry on with his little form ticking, knowing nothing about conditions in fishing ports such as Penzance here. And the scale of this tragedy is absolutely immense. Around 1.7 million tonnes of fish is thrown back dead into the sea each year in recent years. That's a staggering 23% of all the fish that is caught. That's fish which is being killed but isn't being eaten, fish that's being taken out of the marine environment. It's doing untold damage to the seas around Britain. It's doing massive damage to the marine environment. And yet our fishermen are still being deprived of the opportunity to fish. So that's just one example of why the common fisheries policy is bad for Britain and bad for the environment. We're campaigning to get Britain out of the European Union because that is the only way that we can save our waters and save our fishermen from the disastrous damage being caused by the common fisheries policy. And good luck to them. We then move on to Newlyn to talk to Ray Finch, MEP. He's the UKIP fisheries spokesman, and he was telling us about the background to the common fisheries policy and its impact on Britain. Oh, by the way, I really should apologise for a bit of wind noise that occurs in places, but this was recorded on the open breakwater around Newlyn Harbour, where Ray had been talking to some of the local fishermen.
So
here in Newlyn, I've bumped into Ray Finch, who is UKIP's fisheries spokesman. I know it's all kicking off here in Newlyn. We've got lots of events going on. You've got things going on. The big meeting tonight over in New Quay.
Indeed.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. But I just thought I'd take the opportunity and ask you, what's UKIP's fisheries policy? What Because you're the fisheries, well, what do you want to achieve?
Essentially, it's very simple. The common fisheries policy was meant as a resource grab. It was the original meeting was brought in 6 hours before our accession to us.
6 hours?
6 hours.
Wow.
How peculiar. And it was brought in, obviously, by the French, as most things are these days. So ours is essentially, the UN law of the sea says we can have a 200-mile exclusive economic zone. That's what we want. Once we have that, then all of those really rich British waters can come back to us. And it's not just about the fishermen themselves, and it's not just about the boats. It's what's on land. You see, all around, even Newlyn, which is absolutely stunning, you know, it's dying. It's dying because there's no business. There's no fish for them to catch. The EU decides who catches it, when, and what. So once we have that decision, we can make what's best for our country and for the inland, because for every man that goes out to sea, there's 10 jobs that are supported on land. So if we can get our fisheries industry back again, and we can control it, so that we don't have the situation now with bass, where French and Belgian pear trawling has wiped out 80% of the biomass. Once we have a sustainably working, then our fishermen can earn a decent living, and our ports and our harbours can run again. And if, in the meantime, we have to sell some licences to any other national boats, every penny that comes from those licences will go back onshore to make sure that the facilities here, for the training for apprentices, all of that money will go straight back. It won't go into the Treasury to waste on foreign aid or any of that old rubbish.
Okay, because I understand that the Spanish fishing industry is also supported by a lot of subsidies, not just to the boats, but to their onshore facilities.
Yes.
Which is effectively undercutting our fishermen, because the Spanish boats can get out there a lot cheaper and spend more time.
They get more subsidies. You know, they get more subsidies than the House of Commons bars. Yeah, it's staggering. But it comes back to a historic decision by General Franco. Mm-hmm. He made the Spanish fishing industry the third biggest in the world. It's huge. It's absolutely massive. And it's not just destroying our fisheries. What it's also doing, in the third world, it's causing death and destruction. Because what happens is the EU walks up, hands a big bag of European taxpayers' money to various dictators and corrupt governments, and says, right, we'll have your fish, thank you. So the Spanish, mostly the Spanish, also Portuguese and others, come in, they make the sea into a desert, and the subsistence fishermen in those countries, they have nowhere to live. They have nothing to do, because 60% of the protein in African countries, in the coastal African countries, comes from fish.
Yeah.
So they're starving. So they then have to turn to either drug smuggling, people smuggling, piracy.
Yeah.
So they have a choice, be criminals or die. And it's purely because of European Union fisheries policy.
I must admit, it's corrupt. I had no idea that was going on. I knew about the damage being done to the British fisheries and the British marine environment. No idea all that was going on in third world countries.
I call it neo-colonialism. That's what it is. They're just buying off the ruling classes of those countries to help them rape the resources. And some of the African countries now, the seas are like deserts. The seas are like deserts.
Yeah. Now, I understand you're going on a tour up to Scotland.
I am indeed,
Where are you going to be visiting?
Oh, everywhere. Aberdeen. I'm starting off at Glasgow, funnily enough, which should be fun. But Aberdeen, we're going up to the Shetland Isles. I'm going to try to get as many ports as possible. Myself and David Coburn, who's our Scottish MEP, we're going to go round, because the fact is, my job as an MEP isn't to tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's to go round, and I'm going round as much of the country as possible to listen to them. And I'm just off to the pub now with Dave Hicks and a few of the other fishermen, and we're going to have a chat for the afternoon. Then I'm going to see the head of the local fisheries here for a couple of hours, and then we're going to have a nice big meet. But that's what it's all about. It's about listening. It's not about telling. We know what needs doing. We know what needs doing specifically. Get our waters back. But every local fishery has its own problems. And what I have to do is understand as much of it as possible. And that's the secret.
Great. Well, if you're heading to the pub, I'm not going to hold you up. Thanks very much for sparing
Thanks
the time.
Very much,
have a good day. All right.
We remain in Newlyn to speak to Truro-based chef Sanjay Kumar about his love for Cornish seafood. We then accompany Sanjay to a local primary school in Newlyn, where he teaches local schoolchildren the importance of local seafood and shows them some easy recipes. All this, incidentally, we're very likely to lose if we stay in the European Union and their awful common fisheries policy.
So let's hear a cordial evening, as army never died. Let's hear it for drilling with a change in steam in mind. Let's hear it for farmers.
Well, we're in New Lynn in Cornwall. Behind us is the fishing harbour, the fishing boats going out at the moment as we're approaching high tide. I've met Sanjay Kumar. You're the founder of the Cornish Sardines, I think I've got that right. Can you tell us what that's about?
School of Cornish Sardines is a mobile cookery school based in Cornwall, which encourages people to reconnect with freshly cooked, locally sourced food. It's based on the rich fishing heritage of Cornwall, and fish used to bring communities together, and my idea is if we take that idea and put it into fresh food eating, then communities can eat better and live well, based on sharing traditional recipes and getting better at what they eat.
Okay, now New Lynn, I think, is the busiest fishing port in Cornwall.
Yeah.
More fish comes in here than anywhere else. What sort of seafood are they bringing in here?
All sorts, really. In New Lynn, you could, in a good fish market day, you could find cuttlefish, you could find sardines, pilchards here, mackerel, bit of pollock, bit of more lesser known eaten fish like wrasse or parrotfish, or even lobsters and crabs are landed in New Lynn.
Oh, wow.
It's a mixture of things. Scallops, you can see a scalloper down there right now. Pouting, whiting, you name it. I have been told there are around 53 different species of fish and shellfish landed in New Lynn, so it's quite a busy port.
Okay, that's good. Now we're about to go up to New Lynn School, where you're going to be doing a sort of demonstration. What exactly are you going to be doing there?
Well, a classroom in New Lynn School has been challenged to learn about their fishing heritage and different kinds of fish. So they have been to the market, they have learned about different kinds of fish, and now we are going to go back and create some easy to cook fish dishes that can be created in the classroom, yet then it can be recreated at homes. So it's to inspire kids to understand that fish is not something that only comes as a fish finger out of a frozen supermarket's shelf. It's about cooking fish from scratch and understanding how good it is to eat fish freshly cooked in a classroom setup. So that's what we're doing.
Great, I'm looking forward to that. What sort of fish are you going to be doing?
So we are going to prepare a boat made with white crab meat. We are going to make a wrap with a smoked mackerel, and then we are going to make a chowder with lots of fresh haddock and white fish from New Lynn. So unknown fish being turned into a nice and healthy pork broth in this winter.
And using fish from New Lynn.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Okay, well let's make a move, shall we?
I'll pick a very basic.
Yeah.
Sanjay, what are you going to be cooking here at New Lynn?
We are at New Lynn School today, and we are preparing three dishes. One of them is a crab pot, where we have some white crab meat, which will go into a boat made with lettuce leaves. And then we are making a wrap with smoked mackerel. It's a nice and healthy dish. And then we'll make a chowder with fresh fish from New Lynn. And then it's a soup with bacon and potatoes and rice. Hello.
Hi.
Mr. Moore has told me that you guys went to the fish market. Is that right?
Yeah.
How many of you went there?
All of
you?
Except
Okay, fine.
No,
Mia.
And him.
So the idea is, you need to tell me, what did you see in the fish market?
Fish.
Yeah.
We saw some king prawn.
Yeah.
Some people saw half a swordfish.
What time did you go there?
We went afternoon.
Afternoon. So it's quite a meaty fish. It has got a lot of fish on it, isn't it? And it's got a skin. So we are going to take the skin of this, chop it into small bits, and make a soup out of this. Okay?
It makes me really hungry.
Mackerel in here. And then this is how easy it is, and you guys are watching, yeah, because we are going to make a lot of these later on.
Well, Sanjay, I thought that went really well.
Thank you.
I managed to have a bite of your smoked mackerel wrap.
Yeah.
Absolutely delicious. I thought it was really tasty. Anyway, now we're here from Better Off Out, looking at the fishing industry and the common fisheries policies. Now, our view, of course, is that if we were to leave the European Union and the common fisheries policy, it would benefit local fishermen. But you're with the slow food movement, so I was wondering what's your take on fisheries?
As a head of slow food movement in Cornwall, I get to speak to a lot of fishermen, a lot of farmers, and there's a common belief in fishermen that why don't you leave our seas and our lands and our areas where we draw livelihood from to us? I mean, God made the land and man made the boundaries. So how are people sat in Brussels or some other part of Europe going to ever understand what hardships a fisherman is facing in Congo? So it is better off out definitely that fishermen in Congo are given the right to enjoy the fruits of the sea that they land themselves, rather than someone random deciding what someone can and cannot catch or land in Congo.
Okay, but I mean, you know, if it's slow food, are you looking to source your food locally? Because some of the seafood is sort of coming, which is actually fantastic. So, you know, presumably you want to encourage people to eat more British seafood and so on.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a big campaign for us, that people in Cornwall start, or in Britain itself, start appreciating their food more. In terms of, let's say, the fish that is landed here, hake is a primary example, or megrim sole. These are lesser known fish in shops or fishing markets in Cornwall, but it is a prized fish in Spain. So it is a role of me as a chef or as a leader of slow food movement to encourage people to understand that this is our prime source of protein. Why don't we enjoy it more here rather than it being fished off completely and taken and enjoyed by the Spanish, for instance. So as local food is concerned, it is my job to encourage people to eat more of locally sourced seafood.
Well, I'll agree with that after that smoked mackerel. Absolutely fantastic. Now, the sun's over the yard, I must say, see you around here, so I'm going to suggest we find a pub that does local seafood.
Yes, definitely.
And have a bit to eat, all right?
Good idea, okay. Let's go.
And finally, we go back to Penzance to learn about the scandal known as quota hopping, one of the most damaging aspects of the common fisheries policy as far as our local fishing industry is concerned.
So let's hear it for Joe, Hugh army never die.
We're here in Penzance in Cornwall. Behind me, you can see the small harbour where the fishing fleet comes in. We're here to talk to fishermen and other people involved in the fishing trade about the Better Off Out campaign, Save Britain's Fish. Here's a booklet that we've produced giving our a background briefing on it. And one of the aspects we're going to be talking about is to do with fishing quotas, and in particular with quota hopping. Now, back in 1983, when the European Union's common fisheries policy was dividing up how much fish different countries can catch, Britain started off with 80% of the fishing stocks, and yet we were allocated only 37% by volume and a mere 12% by value of the stocks that overwhelmingly were British. Now, that was bad enough, but even worse was to come. Foreign fishing boat owners started buying up British quota, and they were bringing over boats from Spain, from France, and claiming that they were British ships and registering them in British ports, such as Penzance here, even though they never come here, the crews aren't registered here, the ships never put in, and yet they were registering them as if they were British ships. That was known as a practice known as quota hopping. The British government passed a law making that illegal and saying that only ships that put into British ports and had British crews could register as Britain. But the European Union overruled that. It was a case that went to the European Court of Justice, well, so-called justice, and they decided that no, a ship can call itself British even if it's got nothing to do with Britain. It isn't owned by a British company, it isn't crewed by a British ship. And in that way, the already tiny British quota that we're allowed to fish was reduced even more. There was a case in 2012 when two Spanish ships that were pretending to be British were fishing from the British quota, were hauled up in court for using illegal fishing gear. And Greenpeace issued a statement at the time which said, given that these fishermen were operating on British quota in British waters and had received millions in subsidies, little of the benefits would ever be fed back into the UK economy. The system is skewed in favour of powerful industrial scale fishing companies, where it should be supporting our own inshore low impact fishermen. They make up 77% of the UK fleet, but get access to only 4% of the UK quota. So it's not just us saying this, Greenpeace agree as well. The current situation is a complete scandal. But if Britain were to leave the European Union, we could leave behind the iniquities of the common fisheries policy, have our own fishing policy, support our fishermen, conserve our fishing stocks, improve the marine environment, and basically everyone would be a winner, except, as Greenpeace says, the powerful industrial scale fishing companies from abroad. Bit of a no-brainer if you ask me. We should vote to leave the European Union. Okay, well, that's it for this week. We'll be doing more about the Save Britain's Fish campaign in the next podcast. And don't forget, you can learn more about Better Off Out and about the Save Britain's Fish campaign on our website, www.betteroffout.net. Thanks for listening and see you next time.